radio grew up with the Embassy Theater, and in fact, many radio shows were broadcast live from the Embassy stage in the 30s and 40s, and many of them to national audiences. One such show was Dr. IQ, featuring Lou Valentine. The show aired on NBC starting in 1939 and ran for 11 years, and in fact was broadcast from the stage of the Embassy from May 26th through June 30th, 1947.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, Dr. IQ is not able to be with us tonight, but we were lucky enough to get another great radio quiz master to take his place. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the Embassy stage, Dr. Know-It-All.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you very much. It's great to be back on the radio. First, here's Johnny to tell you how our game is played.
Thank you, Doctor. Contestants are chosen randomly from the audience by our roving microphones. They will then have 10 seconds to answer the question, riddle, or brain teaser posed by Dr. Know-It-All. The answers will be assessed by Dr. Know-It-All as to their correctness, and the winners will receive many valuable prizes and a pat on the back. Losers will be cold-cocked and asked to remain unconscious for the duration of the program. Doctor?
Thank you, Johnny, and I see we have a contestant. Dugan, do you have a contestant in the audience?
Right here, right here.
You got a question. I have a question.
Good.
I hope she has an answer. For a $20 gift certificate to that fine downtown dining establishment, the Thirsty Camel, please answer this question. Who was the original manufacturer of the Page organ?
Packard Oil.
What was that?
She said Page.
The Page
yes,
organ. That's
right.
Correct.
Hey, hey, hey.
Two tickets to, ma'am, what's your name, please?
What's your name?
Barbara Reinhardt.
Barbara Reinhardt.
Thank you very much, Mrs. Reinhardt. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And now we have do we have somebody else, Dugan?
Yes, just a moment. The book is falling apart. Here we do. Yes, we've got a gentleman right here.
A gentleman. It says lady in my script here.
Well, I'm not a gentleman.
That's all right. That's all right. I think
you are a gentleman, aren't you?
We can do this. For a free membership in the Embassy Film Club, complete this sentence. The Embassy Theater was once named the...
M-Boy.
That is absolutely correct.
Yeah.
My God.
Yeah.
The intelligence level of the audience members is astounding. Correct, and you are, what's your name, sir?
What?
One more name.
He forgot his name.
Oh, my God.
Keith Bachman.
That'll be fine. Thank you. Thank you for participating. I'm sure you'll enjoy the many fine films featured on the Embassy's giant screen. Do we have another contestant, Duke?
Yes, we do. I have a lady this time, Doctor.
A lady. For a Renaissance Radio T-shirt, if you can answer this question. What was the name of the hotel adjoining the Embassy Theater? No prompting, please.
Indiana.
Yes,
that is absolutely
Indiana.
Correct. You don't know how many people say Ohio.
No.
Do we have another contestant?
Her name, yeah.
Who is this?
Roddy Davis.
Well, congratulations. A Renaissance Radio T-shirt to you. Do we have another contestant?
Yes, we do, Doctor.
All right. Could you stand, sir?
A young gentleman here.
A gentleman. Next, we have one of Dr. Know-It-All's mouth mushers. And let's see. For you, sir, a guided tour of the embassy by one of our knowledgeable volunteers. If you can repeat this exactly as I say it.
He's listening.
Ready? Okay, good. Here goes. Quick, quipped Quimby, to quiet Kvetcher Clyde. Quench the quagmire, or quilt the kilt. The kilt's been quilt. The quagmire's quenched, to Quimby re-quipped Clyde.
Can you repeat that?
Absolutely not.
Let me give it a shot.
All right.
Quick, quipped Quimby, to quiet Wet Kvetcher Clyde.
Good.
Quench the quagmire, quilt the quilt. The kilt's been quilt, the quagmire's quenched. To Quimby, re-quip Clyde.
Very good. A round of applause. Well done.
An embassy tour.
An embassy tour goes to a Mr.
Paul Helmke.
Mayor Paul Helmke, ladies and gentlemen. Please, sir, come up on stage, won't you? A big round of applause for our own Mayor Paul Helmke.
What did you think?
That was real hard. I got it, didn't I?
Mr. Mayor, it's a pleasure to have you with us tonight in the beautiful Embassy Theater and on the air here at WOWO. As a kid growing up in Fort Wayne, you probably have many fond memories of the Embassy Theater. What do you remember most?
I don't remember much of the vaudeville, Chris, but this theater really was a place where you came, and the ushers did check on those arms on the chairs, I remember, too. But
personal experience, ladies and gentlemen.
Well, you tried the back rows up there, as I recall. But the movies they had here were always the great ones, and whether it was a kid starting off with the Shaggy Dog and Absent-Minded Professor or Ben-Hur and some of the big box office extravaganzas, this is where you came to go to those movies. And the Embassy, it was just exciting. They had all the big films. I remember everybody complained when they raised the price over $1 for Sound of Music, but we kept coming back to it. It's a good place.
It is indeed a wonderful theater. Ladies and gentlemen, his honor, Mayor Paul Helmke.
Let's hear it for him.
You know, the mayor's voice projects more than ours. Did you notice that? I had that microphone way down here. I thought I was going to have to hand it to the gentleman in the front row.
There was a proclamation about that earlier today.
Is that what it was, huh?
He signed it.
With us tonight is a very talented musical group that includes theatrical personalities from around the area. Please welcome Doug Evans, Julie Donnell, Pam Smith-Good, Andrew Gingrich, and Kathy Ford, the five talented members of Pastiche with I'll Never Smile Again.
That our romance
absolutely great. Pastiche.
They are outstanding.
I'm telling you. And just again, for those who are listening on radio and just tuning in, you're listening to the 60th anniversary celebration live here this evening from Fort Wayne, Indiana on WOWO. And Chris, we're delighted to broadcast this.
And coming to you from the Embassy Theater on its 60th anniversary.
Well, you know, there aren't many of these beautiful old entertainment palaces left in the country. Most have fallen to the wrecking ball to make room for progress.
And when you consider the fact that the embassy was originally built for just $1.5 million and that the cost to rebuild it today would be around $16 million, you begin to realize just how valuable preserving these old structures can be.
On September 5th, 1975, the Embassy Theater was placed on the National Register of Historic Places.
And one of the reasons this building is historically significant is due in large part to the unique architectural features of the building.
Well, here to give us more insight on these beautiful surroundings is the Arch President, Gretchen Weigel. Well, the Arch is actively engaged, Gretchen, in the process of restoring historic old structures. And first of all, what is historic and significant about the embassy to you?
Well, it, of course, is very significant in the history of our community. The style is a Spanish revival style. The theaters of this period were built to create an atmosphere that was unreal and different from everyday life. In many instances, they were Oriental and Moorish influences, which came from Spain. And so this is the last of its kind in this part of the country.
And Gretchen, you can speak on that because, as I recall now, didn't you chair the fund drive to save the embassy?
Yes, I did.
That started when?
That started in 1975, ran for about 6 months.
Now, honestly, when you first started it, did you think you'd make it?
Well, it was pretty discouraging, I must say, but we had faith.
Now, we want to talk a little bit about the ornate design of the theater, and if this were to have been torn down and were to be reproduced today, what would be some of the difficulties, and could you estimate cost?
Well, the cost would be millions and millions if you could find craftsmen to do it. The molded plaster and the intricate grillwork just isn't being done anymore. So I doubt if it could be, except in very laborious, tedious ways.
Now, as we've heard, of course, when it was saved and then the restoration itself started, the theater had not been actively used. And how did you go about restoring it? Could you use some of the photos that were taken from the time?
The photos were black and white, so they weren't much help. In fact, that's part of the problem with the drapery up here on the proscenium arch. We don't know whether it was burgundy or turquoise, so convincing arguments could be made either way, but photos aren't much help. When it came to restoration, again, the work was tedious. It began by picking 50 years of gum off the seat bottoms. The fact that the theater had been closed was, in fact, a blessing because people didn't mind that the paint was peeling and the curtains were in tatters, so the original fabric was still in place, and it was easy to reproduce and duplicate. And, of course, when it came to the actual cleaning, again, it was more tedious, laborious work.
Gretchen, one more thing here this evening. Historically, tell us a little about the dress you're wearing this evening. Folks may not realize that.
This dress happens to be 60 years old as well. It was my mother's, and I'm so grateful to her for saving it and sharing it with me.
How about that, folks? That's here for Gretchen Weigel. Thank you very much. Thank you, Gretchen. And thank you for all of the hours and effort you and many other volunteers have put in. Well, Chris, you ready for some more great entertainment?
I think we're ready if our audience is ready to help
ready,
out in
folks.
The introduction.
Are all right,
ready?
Now, we need your help on this introduction, folks. Now, here again, the Renaissance Radio Theater and the nimble fingers of Dine Pfeffenberger at the Page Organ with another exciting episode of
Cliffhangers! As you may remember, by impersonating a harmless mariachi, Lancet again abducted the lovely but trying Flora McFlirt from under the very nose of Cliff, and what passes for a nose on Buck.
Hey!
And had taken her away to mainland China, where we join them now.
At last, the Chinese slave market. A few months here, my proud beauty, and you beg me to marry you and take you away from all this.
Miss Crumbly, you really are a snake.
Ah, welcome.
come for the Orient. Here's your money, Rance. Well spent for such a rubbery raiding.
Hey, keep your chopsticks to yourself, pal.
Ah, and so well-mannered, too. You'll soon learn your place in their fortune cookie folding pits.
Now, remember our deal, Rang. You won't harm her.
Oh, no, Rance. We treat her with TRC.
TRC?
Why, tender loving care.
Meanwhile, Clip and Buck, racing in Clip's Jaguar to catch up with Lance, have become stuck in a hopeless traffic jam.
Hey, Lenny, move it! Some people still remember how to drive.
Gosh darn it, Clip, they're probably halfway around the world by now.
Halfway? Say, Buck, hand me that world road map in the glove box. Bucky, you may have hit it right on the nose.
Ow!
We are exactly halfway around the world from the slave markets of Wao Fong, where Crutler's own pal Hope Rang flies his train.
Then we've lost her?
We may have, old pal.
Ah, well, then let's head back. It's getting late. There's no use crying over spilled milk.
Now, your manners, Buck. We'll never leave her in Lance Crudley's clutches.
No, I suppose not.
Get this map folded. We're taking the sidewalk.
Hey!
All right, buddy, pull over. Sure, and where is the fire?
It would appear to be in the next block, officer.
Why, sure, and it is. Well, that explains that. But where might you be going on the sidewalk this fine day?
Officer, I am Cliff Cantrell, and this is my happy sidekick, Buck Homeland.
The devil you say?
No, it's true. And we're racing my sporty green Jaguar to rescue...
Wait. Don't tell me. Flora, right?
Why, yes. How did you know?
Oh, I listen to you on the radio all the time. Say, that sidekick really is homely, isn't he?
Hey!
Good thing TV hasn't been invented yet.
Why, cop or no cop?
Please, officer, Buck is rather sensitive about all that.
Yeah, and we are in kind of a hurry, so if you don't...
Oh, no, let me make it up to you. Sure, and I'll give you a police escort. Where might you be going?
Mainland China.
Oh, bless my soul, if that isn't right on me way. In fact, I know a shortcut. Follow me.
Well, thank you, officer. You truly are one of LA's finest.
Oh, sure, and it was only what someone might be doing. And for the love of Mike, if I didn't want some of those tiny Chinese potatoes anyway. Good luck, boys.
Well, it's China. And here's Hope Rang's place. Now what?
Buck, what did Confucius say about times like this?
There is great disorder under heaven, and the situation is excellent.
Well, I can see Confucius won't be any help at all. Fortunately, I have a plan. You sneak in the back door.
Just a minute.
Hello. Hope Rang, Szechuan Freight and Trade Market.
Yes, you don't know me at all, but I'd like to place a takeout order. Do you serve crabs?
Why, yes, we do. We serve anybody.
That's a pretty old joke.
Not in 1928, it's not. What would you like?
What would you recommend?
Oh, the Emperor's Sunday dinner is very popular. Comes with downtown chicken, a kung pao yuck. Sweet and rousy pork, a soup of a couple flavor, a candy bar, and clack.
Well, but I have an unusual dietary requirement. My food must be prepared by a lovely round-eyed girl from the West.
Ah, you and Rock. One just shipped in today. Ready in 30 minutes. So long.
Meanwhile, Bucky has covered himself with flour and slipped in somewhat unnoticed on the fortune cookie conveyor belt.
Oh, I'm so tired.
Psst. Flora, it's me. I snuck in to save you.
Bucky, how did you ever get yourself folded like that?
It wasn't easy.
And you're all covered with flour.
Yeah, it was the only way in. I feel like a rutabaga in a bowl of slopnik.
There is no such thing as slopnik.
Shh, Flora, keep your voice down. And his, too.
It's not.
It's not.
Ah, so, Miss McFurt, why are you talking to this huge and unbelievably homery-looking fortune cookie?
Miss Rang, I always talk to the cookies as I work. It helps to pass the time. When I find the cookies
taste
better when I...
No, 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 no. Sirens, not sirens. I mean sirens, right? No talking. I suspect Mr. Rance Crudry will be interested in all of this. Oh, Rance, come take a look at this cookie.
That's no cookie. That's Buck Homely. Curses and confounded Cliff Cantrell. Where is he?
We'll never tell you, Lance Crudley.
Oh, do not worry, Rance. I have matters under control. Now, you put the first finger from one hand in this side.
Uh-huh, and then?
And the first finger from the other hand in this side.
Jack, then what?
Oh, now try to separate your hands, Mr. Cantrell.
Hey, what the... The harder I pull, the tighter it squeezes.
Another stupid victim of the infamous Chinese finger trap.
Drat, drat. Oh, no. It looks like Cliff has let his own trusty nature get in the way again. Can he escape the finger trap? Where is Lance taking Flora and Buck? While the jury deliberates, let me remind you that Cliffhangers is brought to you by the Ambassadors, a wonderful group of people who do so many nice things for the Embassy Theater, the most recent of which was bringing refreshments for tonight's cast. Remember, it wouldn't be the Embassy without the Ambassadors. And remember also to tune in later this evening for the thrilling final episode of... Cliffhangers!
Ladies and gentlemen, the Renaissance Radio Theater.
This is Lawrence Welk, wishing a happy birthday to the Embassy Theater. May you have many, many more.
All right, sir. Now, once again, for your entertainment, here's Dick Seeger and the Embassy Big Broadcast Orchestra.
Don't go away. In the next half hour, we'll have more music, more laughs, and a special word from the spirit of the Embassy. Plus more from Pastiche, Gretchen Weigel, the Dick Seeger Band, the Page Organ, and the gripping conclusion of Cliffhangers. It's all coming up when we return with more of the big broadcast of 1988. 60 years of entertainment at the Embassy Theater. We'll be right back. gentlemen. Welcome back to the last half hour of the big broadcast of 1988, a 60th anniversary salute to the Embassy Theater. And now here again are the hosts of our show, Chris Roberts and Dugan Frye.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to the last half hour. Many people have had the privilege to sit at the keyboard of the Grand Page organ over the years, but there are only a few who have had what we call that special touch.
That's true, and one such individual is with us tonight. Ladies and gentlemen, let's hear it for Marilyn Ambrose at the console of the mighty Page organ with a beautiful rendition of American Patrol.
Marilyn Ambrose, ladies and gentlemen. What a performance. Dugan?
Absolutely. Right now we have a real treat for you, a message from brilliant comic Will Schreiner, his thoughts on the Embassy.
I remember as a kid going to the Embassy Theater to watch my father, Herb, work on a stage where he appeared many, many times. It was a thrill for me, about a year ago, to actually appear on the same stage with Janie Fricke at an event, and It's really terrific the way people are saving these old theaters. My congratulations to the foundation and all the folks who have gone that extra mile to keep a theater like this intact for generations beyond us to enjoy. This is Will Schreiner.
Thank you, Will.
Will Schreiner.
I remember working with his father. Now here's the Renaissance Radio Theater again with Diane Pfeffenberger at the Grand Page Organ and the thrilling conclusion to tonight's episode of
Cliffhangers! As you remember from last time, Lance had taken... heck, it was just 30 minutes ago. You remember it all right, don't you? Do you remember it? All right. Okay, let's get on with it by joining Flora and Buck in the Ural Mountains, where Lance has whisked them in his stolen autogyro.
Cliff Cantrell will never find you here.
Where are we?
You're in a dungeon far below the surface of the rural Ural Mountains, about 40 minutes out of the downtown Urals.
Oh, nice dungeon. Is it yours?
Nah, I used to rent it till it went condo. Oh, how I hate condos!
And how long will you keep us here?
Until you consent to marry me.
Never.
Till then, you'll spend your days here living on nothing but bread and Slopnik.
Don't say it.
I told you so.
Meanwhile, back in Wow Fong, Cliff struggles furiously against the bondage of the hideous finger trap.
Gosh darn it. I've never been any good at puzzles or riddles or any of that dumb stuff. Rats, it's no use. I guess I'll have to learn to eat with my feet. I'll give all my money to finger trap research so others won't have to suffer. Oh, Johnny. Johnny Johnson?
Call me Bud.
Bud. I know we don't do this, really, but, how's about sort of announcing me out of this?
Gee, I don't know, Cliff. All the writers have gone home and,
On, Bud. Be a match. Improvise. What do you say, huh?
Well, all right, but, I'm winging it, remember?
Hey, no complaints, I promise.
Suddenly, with a terrific ripping sound, the trap disintegrates, leaving Cliff free. A freak tornado picks him up.
Oh, whoa, not the tornado!
And carries him hundreds of miles to the rural Ural Mountains, where he is dropped at the feet of a South Gaiman tour guide.
Maps to the Stars Caves. Secret dungeon entrances. Hey, you are a pretty lucky individual. I bet you're looking for the dungeon of Lance the Snake Crudley.
Could be. Say, did you see three people come by here recently?
Oh, yes. In the depths of the middle of my brain, I seem to glimpse a flicker of a moment. Yes, a very, very, very homely man, dressed as a sort of fortune cookie that could stop a clock. In the company of a mean-looking serpentine man with Vaseline coating his head, tons of this stuff, and a feminine vision of saintliness.
Flora!
Yes, yes, like a flower, but with a killer bee in the middle. A very tough bee. I cannot overstress this. No, Krishna, she'll bite your head off at the ankles, man.
All right.
I tell where they be now for 5 shekels.
How much is that American?
Would seem to be about $300.
I knew this dollar shekel thing was getting out of hand, but... Okay, here. Now, where are they?
Oh, more good fortune that rains from the clouds. You are but 3 steps from the door.
Here? Why, you're right. I could have found it myself. I didn't need you at all.
Oh, wise, but sad, but true. If this writer's brother-in-law did not do this silly accent, I would not be here. And now, I am going away. Goodbye.
And so, armed only with his wits, God help him, and a trusty 40-millimeter howitzer, Cliff begins the journey down the dark, dank, dusty mustiness of the tunnel leading to Lance Crudley's timeshare dungeon.
Judge Crater. Jimmy Hoffa? Amelia Earhart? Gosh, what a great dungeon.
Chew!
Nuts!
Chew!
Nuts!
I think I may have found them. Flora, Bucky, where are you?
Cliff.
Oh, yo, jeez! Don't do that, Buck. Lordy.
Stop shouting. Lance will hear you.
He's probably miles from here now, Flora.
Hello.
Yo, good night. What has everybody got about sneaking up around here?
I guess I'm just a sneaky kind of a guy.
Put him up, Snake. We'll duke this out like civilized men.
Hold it right there, Cantrell. I'm armed.
That's a fish.
Yes, but I happen to know that a fish is all you've got, too. Ha-ha!
And when Cliff reached for his weapon, all he found was a dead, flaccid fish.
You evil doer. You paid off Bud an ounce away my howitzer. Now all I have is this fish.
Yes, that's the halibut, isn't it? Take that!
You're floundering, Crudley!
That's because I have a headache.
Stop carping, Crudley, and take this!
Oh, Clippy, you won!
I guess Lance forgot about my second place national finish on the fish fencing team at Harvard.
Well, you can show me your trophy later. Let's get out of here.
And so they escape, only seconds ahead of Lance Crudley's call.
After them!
And run a race for their lives with Lance Crudley's vicious Transylvanian henchmen and henchwomen only steps behind.
They're off. Clip and pals pull an early lead with Lance the Snake close behind, pulling away from the Transylvanians. And as they come into the first turn, it's Clip, Lance, Transylvanians, rubber band in the stretch, seasick at the rail, Toupe going on ahead, Bosky trading with Wall Street on the inside, and Beetlebum.
Oh, Clip, I can't run anymore.
And I can't run anymore.
Green, you can't run because your strength is giving out?
No, we can't run because of that 10,000-foot drop just in front of us.
Yeah, 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 yeah. Try and worm your way out of this, Cantrell. That's a sheer 10,000-foot drop to the jagged rocks and alligators below.
All right, everybody stay calm. I have a plan.
I knew you would, Clippy.
Well, jump.
And I knew it would be a stupid plan. Jump? That's your whole idea? Just jump?
But take her on.
Let me help.
Ready, Clip? Clip?
Three chums survive the 10,000 foot to the jagged rocks and alligators below? What a silly question. Don't even bother to show up for another spine-tingling episode of Cliffhanger!
Ladies and gentlemen, the Renaissance Radio Theater and Dine Pfeffenberger at the beautiful Page Organ. Now, listen very carefully.
Hey, how do you do, ladies and gentlemen? This is Bob Hope, and I just want to congratulate you on your 60th anniversary of the Embassy Theater, which I knew as the Emboyd Theater when I played there 60 years ago. I was just starting my single act, and I just loved playing that theater. I was there about 2 weeks, and I think a fellow called Marcus was the manager, if I'm not mistaken. I also want you to listen to my show and watch my show from 7 to 10 on NBC. It's my 50 years with NBC show, and there's never been one like it. I don't think there'll ever be one again. Everybody in show business is on the show, and it's one of a kind. Congratulations again.
Bob Hope, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah.
Yeah. He said he'd plug our show if we plugged his, so I guess that's okay.
Well, I was watching our official studio clock up here on stage, Dugan. That was 23 seconds. How much do we get for a 23-second plug like that?
Yeah, that's right. We'll bill him.
There would be no way to appreciate the beauty of the Embassy had it not been for the many volunteers who have given their time to cleaning the coal dust from every nook and cranny, restoring plaster work that you see above you and beside you, cleaning the lighting fixtures, scraping, sanding, polishing, washing, waxing, maintaining this glorious old vaudeville palace we call the Embassy.
That's exactly right, and many of you are here in the audience tonight. We'd like to have you stand if you have ever given any of your time to help preserve the Embassy Theater. Stand, and we'll have the house lights here a little bit so we can see. I know you're out there, folks, so stand. Stand up, let the folks see.
They're too modest.
Everybody who's helped the theater. How about up in the balcony, Doctor? And, of course, Chris, a big round of applause for the Embassy volunteers, and I know that there are others that for one reason or another could not be here this evening, and we remember them and thank them also.
We thank you. The Foundation thanks you. The city thanks you. And if this building could talk, it would thank you, too.
People to take advantage of them, you know. It seemed like everybody had a car. And gasoline was cheap, and who knew where it came from. Your favorite saloon served a free lunch every day. And all the pretty girls were bored and wild. They were looking for something thrilling. There was just so much. There was so much of everything. People couldn't decide what they wanted. But I knew what I wanted. Loud music and thick velvet curtains. Well, you know, a stage. I wanted a stage. And I got one, boy, in 1928. You think there's no such thing as an overnight sensation? Brother, you should have been there. I was a smash hit from opening night. Packed. Word got around pretty quick. Before long, they just came from all over the place. From DeKalb and Kosciuszko. From the Salamone and Shirley City. All the cake eaters, the real hoi polloi. You know, with the satin hats, the lucite canes. Look. Can't you see them? There's the settlers. And the Burgoffs. Holy cow, it's the McMillans and the Schultz and the Fosters. There's Colonel Bass with his little platoon driving those big 16-cylinder roadsters, hand-built at Auburn. What a scene. What a scene. What a scene. They were beautiful. Just beautiful. And so was I. Well, let's face it, I was young then. I could do anything. I'd do a song and some soft shoe, a little snappy patter. Hey, a guy goes to his doctor and says, "Doctor, it hurts when I do like this." The doctor says, "Don't do that." "No, seriously, Doc," the guy says, "it hurts when I do it like this." The doctor says, "Have you ever had this before?" The guy says, "Yeah." He says, "Well, you got it again." Slowly I turn. Slowly I turn. Well, I don't know what killed Vaudeville. Maybe it deserved to die. That's what my agent said anyway.
Good for it. It's old hat anyway.
But Sam, it's a legitimate theater. It's my first love.
Can't get over it. Now that moving pictures can talk, vaudeville is history. Hey, I can get you movies. Big time, big money, big crowns.
Well, it took time, but I learned to love the movies. I really did. It was honest work, and at least I was working. And you know, the people loved us. They loved the movies. No matter how bad things got, they just kept coming. The dollar went bust, and they just kept coming. The world burst into flame, and they kept coming. Hitler railed, and Truman dropped the bomb, and you just kept coming. But I can't complain. Honestly, the movies, they were good to me. They kept me alive. The others, they weren't so lucky. Let me see. The Majestic fell down in a coughing fit one day. Didn't get back up. Paramount, that was cancer. Poor girl. The Palace, Peoples and the Masonic. They just went in their sleep. And finally, even my oldest, closest friend, the Jefferson. You know, the coroner wouldn't say, and the newspapers didn't say, but I think that was a suicide. Those were hard times. bookings were getting farther and farther apart. What I really remember from those years is the emptiness. Terrible emptiness.
Hey, they watch TV, they go to the mall, who knows what they do? They're just not coming to see you anymore, okay?
But, Sam, I gotta eat.
And so do I, which I can't do off 10% of nothing. Look, I swear I'll call you if anything happens, but do me a favor and don't call me here anymore.
You miserable lying flack. How can you say this? After all these years together, how can you say this to me? Those people, Sammy, the people love me, Sam.
Correction, Pally, loved. The word is loved, past tense. Get it? Nobody cares about you anymore. Nobody cares. Nobody cares. Nobody cares.
You develop a pretty thick skin in show business. And I'd taken some hard knocks, but that one really hurt. You see, I... Silly old man, I know, but... I still thought they loved me. Well, anyway. So, I mean, you gotta understand, I'm down to my last dime. That's not a figure of speech. I mean my last 10 cents. And my clothes are in rags. And I cannot even keep myself warm in the winter. Final curtain. Closing night. Nobody wants an uncle. The rest would be easy now. All I had to do was wait around until it was time to die. And that time came as a thief in the night. I was out walking alone. Nowhere. Nowhere to go. Nowhere to go back to. When I heard the Reaper step up behind me.
Give me your money, old man.
Oh, no. Oh, dear God. Is this what it comes down to? Is this how I deserve to die?
Take it easy, old man. You're not dying yet. Just give me your money. What? You think this is some kind of joke?
Yes. Yes. And it's on you. The joke's on you. I haven't got any.
Like hell you don't.
No, I just spent it on a meal.
It's gonna be your last meal, Gramps. Cough it up or you're dead.
You'd do it, wouldn't you?
Man, I'll kill you and not even feel bad in the morning.
No. No. No, you wouldn't, would you? Feel bad because nobody cares. Nobody cares or remembers that I'm here or gives a damn if I stand or fall. So, and you know what? I don't care either. You think you're so tough? Well, I'm even tougher. I'm tired. I'm sick and tired. So go ahead. Shoot.
Well, I haven't got your money, punk, okay? Go ahead and shoot!
My God, can't you hear me? Shoot!
Oh, whoa, hey, old man, look, uncoil, okay? Listen, all I need is $10. It ain't nothing. Just give me $10 and you can go.
Hold it, I got $10.
What are you looking for, trouble?
No, I'm just trying to help. I'll give you $10 and leave him alone.
You look like you could do better than that, buddy.
Okay, fine. Take my wallet. Just let him be, okay?
Okay.
Now get out of here.
You were lucky, old man. You're lucky you got friends.
I don't understand. Who are you? Why did you do this?
Oh, like you said, I'm just a friend. Just somebody who remembers.
A friend?
Yeah, and you look like you could use one. Come on, let's go get you cleaned up.
And he took me under his wing. I found out there were others who remembered. And they got me a new suit of clothes. And they put a roof over my head. So many of you are here tonight. When I look out and see you, I just don't know what to say. Except thank you. Thank you for caring. And I never, ever thought I would say this. After 60 years, it's good to be alive. I'm happy to be here.
It's all past. Leave the worries on the doorstep. Just direct your feet to the sunny side of the street. Can't you hear the pigeon pat? And that happy tune is your step. Life can't be so sweet on the sunny side of the street. I used to walk in the shade with those blues on the rain. But I'm not afraid. This road crossed over. If I never have a cent, I'll be rich as Rockefeller. Gold dust at my feet on the sunny side of the street. Grab your coat. Don't forget your hat. But leave your worries. Leave them on the doorstep. Life's sweet. Just direct your feet to the sunny side of the street. Hop, I'll doodle that. Hit a pat. You know that happy tune.
Ladies and gentlemen, you hold the ticket for the next 60 years. Become a member of the Embassy Theater Foundation. Membership forms are available in the lobby. The Film Club is always looking for new cinema fans. And yes, we still do accept cash contributions.
We'd like to thank Dick Seeger and the orchestra.
Jim Bordner, Jim Welch, Steve Black, Shannon Mercer. And Charlie Willer and Dave Parnon at the controls of the Maumee Sound Machine. The Renaissance Radio Theater.
Raleigh Baines of the Kurzweil Synthesizer.
Doug Evans, Julie Donnell, Pam Smith-Good, Andrew Gingrich, and Kathy Ford, who are pastiche.
Impressionist Brian Matney.
The talented page organist Dine Pfeffenberger and Marilyn Ambrose.
Janet Piercy, Diane Barton, Dan Albers, and Stephen Narwhal, the Touchstone.
the audio wizardry of Gary Lavengood.
Thanks, Gary.
The friendly and most efficient Embassy Stagehands.
Gail Milne and the Embassy staff.
The staff and management of WOWO Radio 1190 and our Vice President, General Manager, and Stage Manager Director this evening, Mr. Stephen Schramm, ladies and gentlemen.
My partner, Chris Roberts.
And my partner, Dugan Fry.
Your announcer, Bob Sievers.
And, of course, we'd like to thank all of you in our studio audience and in the WOWOLAND listening area, 34 states and 4 provinces who have made all of this possible this evening.
The Kurzweil Sampling Synthesizer has been provided by the friendly folks at Sweetwater Studio Sound.
The big broadcast of 1988 was written and produced by Jim Bordner and Jim Welsh for the Renaissance Radio Theater.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
And drive carefully.
Thank you.